2 weeks in a row, you're looking really good. So good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Birch Ridge. And as we wrap up this teaching on the life of Samson, Samson is just one of those guys that's really easy to get frustrated with, isn't he? I mean, it's like, here's this guy with so much God-given potential, so much talent, so much potential, so much strength, so much power, so much anointing. And he just seems to squander it with wrong choice after wrong choice after wrong choice. You could say, if you remember, you could say that Samson was an incredibly strong man with a dangerously weak will, right? We could say that Samson was emotion-driven, not spirit-led. We could say that Samson didn't ruin his life all at once. He ruined it
one step at a time.
Very good. Hopefully some of those phrases are somewhat familiar from the past few weeks. But Samson was supposed to, God's purpose for Samson was for Samson to loosen the grip of the Philistines on the people of Israel. But where we find him today is he is tied up in the Colosseum. His eyes are gouged out of his head. He's tied up. He is the laughing stock before his enemy, the Philistines. I mean, it seems that Samson has hit rock bottom, and a person almost asks, like, could it get any worse? And that's always a bad thing to go, like, it couldn't get any worse, right? Don't ever say that. But it almost seems as if things just couldn't get any worse for Samson. And that raises a great question for us today. What do you do when you've blown it in a big way? What do you do? Do you just say, stick me with a fork, I'm done? Do you concede that your failure is going to identify you for the rest of your days? See, I contend that most people take failure very, very personally. In fact, write this down. Our greatest fear is failure, and our greatest pain is regret. Our greatest fear is failure, and our greatest pain is regret. Samson's story teaches us something that I think we all need to embrace, and that is this. Just because you fail at something doesn't mean you're a failure. Why? Because failure is an event, not a person. Think about that. Failure is an event, not a person. We're looking at this man, Samson, a guy who failed over and over and over. So much so that some people thought, is it even possible for God to even love him anymore, much less use him anymore? But we're going to see that God fulfills his purpose in Samson, even in the midst of Samson's failures. This is good news for someone, probably in this room this morning, that just because you fail doesn't mean you're a failure, because failure is an event, not a person. This is good news for somebody in this room. Maybe it's good news for somebody that's watching it on Facebook or YouTube or website. But whoever it is, this is good news. Don't let this pass by you. Grab it and process it. Let it internalize within you. Let's look at how the story ends. Or the end of the scripture. Judges chapter 16 and verse 23. The Philistine rulers held a great festival, offering sacrifices and praising their god Dagon. They said, our God has given us victory over our enemy Samson. The Philistines, they worshipped this god, if you will, named Dagon. Dagon was half man, half fish. I mean, that hardly sounds like a high school mascot, much less a god, right? I mean, that's really the best you got. Okay, right? They've got Samson tied up in this Colosseum. His eyes are gouged out, and he's tied up. And there's about three between 3,000 and 5,000 people looking on. I mean, the Colosseum is filled up. They have come to watch Samson suffer. They have come to watch him entertain them. Okay? It's filled up with people. Verse 24. When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, "This man destroyed our country. He killed many of us. But our God has handed over our enemy to us." You remember a few weeks ago we talked about how Samson tied 150 pairs of foxes, their tails together, and then he put a torch in between their tails and then turned them loose in the fields to destroy the Philistines' crops and their livelihoods. Everybody remember that? The Philistines remember too. Remember that Samson killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey? Do you? The Philistines remember too. Okay? Verse 25. Half drunk by now, the people demanded, "Bring out Samson so he can amuse us." So he was brought from the prison to amuse them, and they had him stand between the pillars supporting the roof. Samson is absolutely devastated. Like, it doesn't seem like it can get any worse for Samson. But here's the deal. I contend there are two responses to failure. Two responses that we can choose when we fail. The first one is this. The natural response to failure is remorse. The natural response to failure is remorse. It's like, you know what? I messed up. It's my fault. I messed up. And that's usually, unfortunately, about as far as it goes. And sometimes, sometimes that remorse goes outward. And we'll say, you know what, yeah, I messed up. I did the wrong thing. But you know what, if she wouldn't have said that, then I wouldn't have done that. If he wouldn't have been there, then I wouldn't have. You know, you follow me? Sometimes, as far as we get is remorse. We're just like, you know what, I screwed up. I messed up. I did a bad thing. But then sometimes we go even backwards farther and we'll let it be an outward expression. We're like, but I did it, but, and I did it because, and we try to justify and rationalize why we do what we do. So the natural response to failure is remorse. The better response to failure is repentance. The better response to failure is repentance. And that's where we're like, you know what? I own that. That had my name all over it. It was my fault. I did a bad thing. Okay, that's where we get to remorse, right? But repentance takes it a step farther. Repentance is not only saying, I did a bad thing, I made the mistake, I failed at this, but then you turn from that. You do a 180. It's not just, yeah, I did a bad thing, and you just keep trudging through to where there's potential for do it again. Repentance is admitting that you own that, you did it, but then turn from it. You turn from that sin and you turn to God. That is repentance. That's what repentance really is. Repentance is admitting it and intentionally turning away from it. So like, let's just say, for example, going north towards Anchorage is a bad thing. Going south towards Homer is the good thing. Okay? So if you find yourself going north, you just immediately pull off the side of the road, you do a U-turn, and you head back, right? Well, that sounds simple and easy, and sometimes it can be. Sometimes the mistakes we make are about as simple and harmless as going the wrong direction. We just pull over the side of the road, we make a U-turn, and we start going the other way. Repentance can be sometimes that easy. Sometimes our sin has some consequences with it, though. Like, you can't unsleep with that person you slept with. But you can repent. What's that mean? About face, right? We turn around. We go in the God's direction. You can't unsee the pictures you might have seen on the internet. But you can repent. You can't unsay those words, those hurtful words that hurt somebody. But you can repent. And that's where I believe Samson gets to this point. And my prayer is that we would all get to this point as well. Listen, you can't change your past, but you can change your future. You can't undo, you can't unsay, you can't unsee, but you can change your future. Like, you are in a moment where you're responsible, you're in charge of making the decisions that you make. You can't unmake decisions, but you can choose right here and now that the decisions I make from this moment forward are going to honor and please God. You can't change your past, but you can change your future. Just because you're down doesn't mean you're out. And even though you fail, you're not a failure, because failure is an event, never a person. Amen? Amen. So don't internalize the failure. You are not what you did. You are who God says you are. Okay? So Samson is tied up in this arena. His eyes are gouged out of his head. He's tied up. He's literally the laughing stock. There are thousands of people here, including most of the Philistine leaders. And in this moment, Samson has a moment of clarity. And he asks to be placed between these two pillars so that he can rest up against them. At least that's what he wants the Philistines to think. That's what he says to the Philistines. Okay, verse 28. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me. Just once more." I love that verse more than I know how to describe. In other words, God, I've messed up. I've blown it 1,000 times. But I don't need 1,000 more chances. I just need one more. Just one more shot. Just one more chance. One more time, God. One more. See, I believe something happened inside of Samson. And he had that moment of clarity, and he's like realizing he probably doesn't have many more days, but whatever days he has left, they're all for God. And I'm all in. God, I'm all in. I'm all yours. I want to be used up for your honor, for your glory. And church, today's your day. This hasn't been just a cute story of Samson. This is our lives. This is our lives. Today is your day. You're not asking for 1,000 more chances. You're looking for just one more shot. I can't change the past, God, but I can change my future. Just one more chance to get on the right path, to make the right choice that will bring you the most honor and the most glory. And you're going to turn your eyes like flint, and you're not going to be taken off course. Just because a person's down doesn't mean they're out. Just because you fail at something doesn't make you a failure, because failure is always an event, never, ever a person. Amen? In fact, write this down. Even in our failures, God can still accomplish his purposes. Even in our failures, God can still accomplish his purposes. That's really, really good news. Because if you remember, what was God's purpose for Samson? Do you remember what it was? To loosen the grip that the Philistines had on the nation of Israel. Let's look and see what happens. Verse 29. Then Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus, he killed more when he died than while he lived. Crazy, isn't it? That Samson, this guy who killed 1,000 with the jawbone of a donkey, the one who did all it, he killed more people, more enemy in his death than all put together while he was living. It just goes to show that even in our failures, God can still use us. You are not what you have done. You are who God says you are. God says, "I have loved you with an endless love. I created you in your mother's womb. I knit you together. I made you just the way you are, so specifically, so intentionally, for a very specific purpose. Like when he created you in your mother's womb, he created you with a purpose, with a kingdom, godly purpose. And he looks at you and he says, you are blessed. You are blessed coming in. You are blessed going out. He looks at you and says, you are more than conquerors through Christ. He looks at you and says, you are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of your testimony. He looks at you from the moment he created you in your mother's womb and he said, I have plans to bless you and prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. Listen, you are not who you even think you are. You are not who your friends say you are. You are not who the world says you are. You are not who the devil says you are. You are who God says you are. Listen, don't miss this. Don't miss this. If you're not dead, you're not done. Amen? Right? If you're not dead, you're not done. If you've still got breath in your lungs, there's still hope. Okay? You're not a failure. Your failure doesn't define you. You can't change the past, but you can change your future. Whatever that is, repentance isn't just owning it. Repentance is owning it and turning from that and turning to God full on. God, whatever days I have left, I'm all in. I'm all yours. I want to be used up for you. So let me ask you a question this morning. What pillars do you need to push over? Settle in. What is it in your life that would be represented by a pillar that, like Samson, pushed over? What pillars do you need to push over? Maybe more importantly, just as important, maybe even more importantly, will you have the courage to do it? Because the bottom line is this: if you want something different than what you've been getting, you've got to do something different than what you've been doing. Write that down. If you want something different than what you've been getting, you've got to do something different than what you've been doing. Whatever that looks like for you, today's the day. Today, the day. Remember the words that brought D.L. Moody to his knees that we talked about? The words that he took with him and claimed as his goal for the rest of his life? The world has yet to see what God can do with one man, with one woman, wholly committed to him. Be that man. Be that woman. For the sake of the one who gave it all for you, be that man. Be that woman. Father, This story of Samson is, it just screams at me every time I read it. I see so much of me in the life of Samson. And I believe every word I just said today that you've given us, God, this is your word. And this is your word for your people today. Just because we fail doesn't mean we're failures, because failure is an event. It's never a person. God, it's so easy to speak negative over our own lives. It's so easy for us to listen to the negativity around us that others speak. It's so easy to listen to the wrong voice that speaks about us and to us. And God, what I've been learning is, and I pray, God, that we all will learn, there's one voice. There's one voice that we need to be listening to. It's the voice of truth. The Holy Spirit of God speaks truth. Just now, you just gave me a word of truth. to speak. But now, not later, not 5 years from now, but now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That just flies in the face of all the lies that we listen to sometimes. God, help us just to rest in how you see us today. Encourage us. We're not looking for flattery. We're not looking for false praise. We're just looking for truth. And that truth comes from your Spirit. The very same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the very same Spirit that lives inside of us. So help us, Father, to unleash that Holy Spirit power in our lives to be you to a world who so desperately needs to see you. Wherever we go, God, what pillars do we need to push down this week? This isn't just you didn't call us to be you just for people who are in the ministry, preaching, teaching. I still contend and believe with all my heart the greatest mission field is out there in the workplaces where there's so many people that are far from God, and you've called us to be you to a world that's so far away from you, that doesn't know you, that have walked away from you, that don't understand you, that maybe have had a bad experience by someone who didn't represent you very well. And you're calling us to reach out to those. Wherever that is, help us to be you. Speak life, encouragement, love, hope, grace, mercy, forgiveness, patience, gratitude. Help us to take some of these words, take a deep breath in, where I'll ask you to do in and for and through us what I'm unable to do for us, what seems like we're unable to do for ourselves. Holy Spirit, would you minister to us in these moments, these hours, the rest of this day, all through this week. Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23 says, "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful."
Closing back. Beginning and the end, beginning.